Well, I have a question for you, and it's a simple one. If I showed up this morning and I started flipping tables and accusing you of being heretics and hypocrites, and if I fashioned a whip, started chasing you around with it, what would you do?
Run.
Run. Okay. What's that?
Call the men in white coats.
You wouldn't appreciate it, I don't think. And I think if I did that, I'd wear my welcome out pretty quickly. I think to say that you would not appreciate such actions from me would be an understatement. So this morning when we go down to the Campbell Hall, I will not flip the table over where Bob usually sits doing fun script. And it's not Bob this morning, is it? Is it Linda? I saw Ross has got the box, so I won't go over to Ross and flip the table out and chase him out. But when we read our gospel lesson from John this morning, that happens, doesn't it? Jesus walks into the table, he fashions a whip, he gets so enraged, he fashions a whip, a weapon, he flips tables, and he chases people out of the temple. Jesus is filled with zeal for the temple, and he rightly demonstrated it to those who were assembled on that day. Jesus went into the temple, and he saw what no one else could see. That the money changers and merchants who first arrived to provide a vital service had taken over the temple. No longer was it a place for worship, but a place for commerce, which supported the temple cults. Those who supported the status quo were no longer able to see how the current setup created a barrier to God rather than opening the way to God. Which reminds me a little bit of a story, and it might be one you're familiar with. It was circulating on the internet. The last time I saw was a couple of years ago. But it's one day, and it's Washington, D.C., and it's a busy subway station, and there's a man there, open violin case, and he's playing the fiddle for those who pass by. And quite a few children and young people, they stop and they listen. But soon they're ushered on by their parents. About a half a dozen people stay for a minute or two before they move on to catch their train. Few people throw money. And after a while, the violinist had collected just over $32. But the musician in question was a gentleman by the name of Joshua Bell. And 3 weeks earlier, he had played to a packed house in Boston where the cheap seats sold for $100. Unbeknownst to those on that day, he was playing some of the most difficult and intricate pieces composed for the violin. With world-class skill that he possessed, and he was playing them on a violin worth over $3 million. It was a stunt orchestrated by the Washington Post to see if anyone would notice. And no one did. Save perhaps for those few kids who realized that something was up. They know something's up. So too often, we don't see what's right in front of us. And it can happen so easily, can't it? Think about your home. That stack of papers, the mail that comes in and just stacks up, and after a while you realize you have a bit of a disaster on your hands. Or the book that you want to read, and then someone else suggests another book that you'd like to read. And soon you have a pile of books on your desk you need to read. And if you come into my office, you will see the pile of books that I need to read. And yes, Margaret, I will get to that book. It happens so easily. First, we need to take care of something, and then it just becomes part of the background. We stop seeing something that as something that needs to be taken care of, and it just becomes background noise, part of the scenery. The pile of magazines, a stack of books, papers from a meeting, toys. Parents know that one. Sometimes we need to look at things with fresh eyes. And that's what our passage today does. Jesus forces us to take a look at the church, at His church, with fresh eyes. And I wonder if we were to take a look around St. Andrew's, would anything cause us to flip the tables over? Perhaps we might not go that far. But would there be anything which would give us pause? And I'm not suggesting that there is. But it is a question that we should be aware of. And this is where I need the kids. So if the kids want to come to the front for a sec, I need your help. I need some help. So, I would like you to do all of us a favor. So let's sit down and I'll explain what I'd like you to do, okay? And I'd like them to do it on their own with as minimal amount of help from parents or adults. Okay? So this is what I need you to do. Shh. I have important words. All of my words are important. I wonder if you've ever walked around the church, if you've ever seen something and you've wondered, what is that? Or why is it here? Have you ever done that? No. So you know what everything is. I should be walking around with you and getting you to explain it to me. What I'm wondering if you could do for me is, if you could either look out by where the offices are on that area there, or at the very back, which we call the narthex, if you maybe see a book or a piece of paper, and if you don't know what it is, or if you're curious about it, if you would pick it up and you would bring it back here. Can you do that? Now, there are two rules. You are not allowed to leave this floor. There's no going downstairs or up to the balcony. And two, there's no running. Oh, good. Oh, shit! Now you know where the balcony is. The balcony, Richard was up there a minute ago, but see where that big stained glass window is? That's the balcony, Gracie. Okay? We'll show you that later. And we're not going to show her right now. We will show her after the service. Okay? I would like you to do this task for me. No running. You know what it says in the Bible? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, go and find a book or a piece of paper that you're curious about. And bring it back, and then I want you just to sit on the front pew when you're done. Can you do that? Okay. I have either taught Logan very well, or he's very, very confident because he says he knows everything. So, while they're out doing that, yes. Oh, thank you, buddy. Okay, on you go. So, while they're doing that, I'll keep going here. But each week, I read. I read a lot of articles about church, faith, theology. And one of the blogs that I read online is called New Small Church by a pastor by the name of Carl Vatters. And the article that I got this week, and it was I thought it was great timing, was about church traditions. And the article is actually called Kill Your Church Traditions Before They Kill Your Church. Now, no doubt, that's a title that's designed to inflame and to get you to read the article. However, Vatters raises a few interesting points. He talks about the trap of traditions. How we can get stuck in a rut doing something because we have always done it. He argues that when this happens, tradition gets in the way of effectiveness. And you all know what I'm talking about when we say we've always done it that way. I haven't met a church that hasn't said that. But his response, which is practiced at the church where he pastors at, is when something stops being effective, they just stop doing it. Simple. That's it. And his test is simple. If something helps them to hear and know the gospel better, it's effective. And if it doesn't help them hear the gospel, it isn't effective. And they stop doing it. It's a modern-day paraphrase of our passage this morning. Jesus flips the tables, makes a whip, and chases the merchants. I'll have you guys just sit on the front pew there. You sit on the front pew, buddy? He chases the merchants and the money changers out of the temple. And today, we ask if a practice of the church is getting in the way of sharing the gospel. Are there things that we do which get in the way of sharing the gospel? So I missed who was coming in first. I was looking at my notes. So I'm going to start with Eli. So Eli has brought in this folder, which on it says large print hints. And inside of this, what we do is we have a big photocopy of all the hymns that we do, along with the Lenten liturgy and the order of service, so that those who aren't able to read the small print that's in the Bible and the hymn books are able to read it. So that's what this does. This is for people who have problems reading the smaller ones that are more readable. Okay, so it helps them read, and it helps them follow along with the worship service. Do you think that that's a good thing? No. He says no. I think it is a good thing. Do you think it helps people get to have a good relationship? You do. I agree with you. I think this is a good thing. So we should keep doing this. Right? Right. Okay. And Olivia, what do you have? You've got this pink piece of paper. So this paper, and some of these are in your pews, this pink paper, this is a folder, and this is about generosity, about our giving, and how we can give to the church, and what our offerings for the church do, and the different ways that we can give. For all of you who aren't on a card, sign-up sheets on the inside. I will use this as a plug. So, this helps us give to the church. And the church helps a lot of people who are in need. And do you think it's a good thing that people don't go back? Yeah, I think so too. So we should keep that piece of paper around for a while. What have you got, Gracie? You've got an envelope that was at home under the oven. So this is an envelope, similar to maybe some that are in the pews. And this one is specifically for Presbyterian World Service and Development. So, a while back, we had a presentation for people talking about work in Africa. Do you know what that is? On the map. It's a country on the other side of the ocean. And some of the money we get helps people live there. And we put that money in his own. Do you think this is a good thing? Should we keep doing it? I think so too. Logan, what have you got? Logan and Ethan both have the same thing. So these are tokens that are there, okay, that we have that people can pick up when they pick up their bulletin. So some people, when they give to the church, which we've already talked about, some people give money from their pocket, and some people write a check, and other people just put the money right out of their bank account. Right? Just how I put money into your bank account every week automatically. Some people give to the church from the bank account automatically. And they put this card into the offering just to let people know that that's how they give to the church. So do you think this is a useful thing? Should we keep it? Okay, we'll ask you for that. So, yes. Ella has the hope of Easter, 10 reflections of how we have read. Aren't you?
So all good things. So they didn't find anything that shouldn't be here, I don't think. Right? So I want to thank you guys for helping this data. Believe it or not, if you've got a question about something, someone else probably has the same question about something. And I'm sure that most people who are here, if they were to look around, they might wonder what certain things are and what certain things do. And if you ever wonder what things are and what they do, ask me. We'll have an answer for you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is you can either stay seated here nicely and listen while I finish, or you can go back and you can sit with your parents and do some drawing, whatever you like, okay? And I'm almost done talking, you know, we're going to sing it. Okay? What would you like to do?
Color.
Color? Okay, why don't you go back and sit with parents and grandparents? Alright, so I want to thank the kids for that, because it's important that we look around the church from time to time and get a sense of what's going on. In the reading today, the disciples recall a passage from the Psalms, which reads, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." And it's taken from Psalm 69. And the writer of that psalm was being persecuted for his faith. So it's a psalm of lament. It's also about suffering for your faith. And right now we are here worshiping God, but most of Canadian society is not in church today. So it takes great faith to believe what we do in the face of so many who do not have time for God, who are too busy to take the time and ask important questions and ask spiritual questions about their lives. It takes faith to believe what we read in Scripture about our relationship with God and how that relationship with God is more important than anything that a business person, an economist, or a political leader could ever say. This passage tests our spiritual vision. Do we understand what matters in life? And in our walk with Christ as the church, what we surround ourselves with in the church also matters a great deal. Jesus says that the merchants and the money changers were a barrier to a full relationship with God. And we know that a proper relationship with God is obtained through Jesus Christ. Last week I asked, what do we understand the Messiah to be? And by arriving at an answer to that question, we begin to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. But today we have a different question. Today we consider what it means to be the church of Jesus. So it's good that the kids are here too, because they're part of the church of Jesus. Lent offers us the opportunity to ask questions about whether or not we might be destroying the temple. You see, friends, you cannot understand Jesus unless you have the whole story. And the story of Jesus culminates at the cross, but that is not the end. If we have an incomplete understanding of Jesus, we may be left in a temple of our own construction. The temple might be dedicated to God, but without an appropriate understanding of Jesus, we may actually stand in opposition to God's purpose in the world. During Lent, we reflect on our relationship with God, and one of the things we need to reflect on is how the different ways that we can be the church often get in the way of being the church. Are there things which we do, which we have always done, do they get in the way of doing what we should be doing? And friends, that's what I want you to meditate on this week. That's what I want you to pray about on this week. What does it mean to be the church of Jesus? Are there barriers in our way that we can remove?
so that we can have a fuller, richer relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.